Kingdom greetings, everybody. Welcome to God's house. Welcome to God's house. So Bernie told me he's 18, and yesterday he told me the trick. But then I'm like, man, I'm 45. I don't want to work that trick on me. Because then I'd be 54 right now. No. Hey, happy birthday, Bernie. We love you, man. I'm proud to have to be shepherding guys like you. You know, the first 10 years. Been in ministry for 20 years, but been in leadership. Lead pastoral position in the past 12 years. This is the first time in my life I have older gentlemen under my care. And you know what? I'm thankful for guys like Bernie. And since it's Bernie's day, I'll keep it on Bernie. But you know, it's, I've heard people say it, don't wait at the funeral to tell, Bernie was so good. You know, he was such a man of integrity. No, at that time, he doesn't care. It won't matter. You know, so this is the time for us to show each other. And I said it yesterday. We went out for breakfast, men's group. You know, your life is worth celebrating. I don't know what your parents told you. I don't know what society told you. But your life, could you repeat it with me? My life is worth celebrating. You know, you're not junk. You're not worthless. You're worth it. And don't listen if you have people in your life telling you that you're not worth it. Because you are. If you have kids, you tell your kids, man. Tell my kids, they're worth it, man. When my kids go to a place, they walk like they own the place. Don't walk like, I'm poor, I'm broke, I'm miserable, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm skinny. God created you fearfully and wonderfully. You know, so I say all this to say, you know, Bernie, we love you. We celebrate your life and we thank God for the man you are. You know, since I moved here, you jumped on board, and I've learned something. The first time I've heard, I met with Bernie, and he's like, we were talking about changes and stuff, and Bernie said, you know, something I've learned years ago, there's the seven words of a dying church. First time I've heard it, the seven words of a dying church. We have never done it that way. I could add the eighth before. You know? I mean, if you're not open to change, you will die. You know? And I posted on Facebook the other day, the kingdom's message it doesn't make the devil excited. The kingdom's message, Satan is not excited about the kingdom's message. You know? When you talk about deliverance, when you talk about living a life of purity, living a holy life, Satan doesn't like that. You know, religion, he doesn't matter. I mean, he doesn't care about religion because he knows at the end of the day, and we say 50 years from now, everything we're working so hard for won't matter. It won't matter because Jesus might come back or you might be dead. And some of us, for sure, 50 years from now, we won't be alive. It's going to be a different generation. So what am I after? You know, last week I began to talk about, are we ready? Will you be ready? You know, I know some of the home groups this week had awesome discussion about the theology, the question, is God in control? Was that good at home group, guys? Was it good? But now, it's something I'm going to do a little different. I want two people I know two home group met last week, the men's and my home group, led by Quinn. I just want two people from each group to tell me how it was. And you don't have to come forward, all right? I'm going to bring you the mic, okay? I'm not putting you on the spot. So two people. If you don't volunteer, I'll choose you. Okay? On five. One, two, three, four, five. All right. So I'll go with Bernie. All right, Jerry. All right, Jerry. Come on, let's put our hands together for Jerry.
We discussed, is God in control?
Yep.
And we had to define that, what it means to be in control, because we know that God is sovereign. And so we had to talk about, you know, if God is sovereign, does that mean he's in control? And we kind of decided that it was really our own commitment to letting God be sovereign in our lives, and then God is in control. So when the circumstances around us are out of control, it's our inner commitment to let God be in control that counts.
So good, so good. See, now you can hold that mic because you're going to pass it around. So now it goes together with what I was saying last week. A life that's yielding to God will be affected by the sovereignty of God. Is that clear? See, now we can't flat out saying, well, God is not in control. No, well, God is in control, but not in control of every action mankind made. Okay? Somebody else from my home group. Let's go with Michelle. All right? What did you learn? Was Michelle there? Yeah. Okay, there you go. Yeah, Jackson says, yeah, my mom was there. He was there. She was there. She was there.
We talked about God being in control, but us being in charge of ourselves.
Okay.
And how we are responsible for our free will.
That's so good, Michelle. Thank you so much. That's awesome. Let me try somebody else. Roxy.
She took what I said.
Oh, she did? Okay.
That's actually what Roxy said that night.
Oh, well. Good disciple you've got there. All right. Let's see. I mean, I guess that's enough. Yeah, let's put our hands together for Jerry and Michelle. Thank you. So all the other cells that are meeting in the coming weeks, I encourage you, I already talked to our cell leaders, have that discussion, you know, talk about it. What does it mean, really means for God to be in control, you know? So I want you to watch something. It's going to come up soon, but talking about the sovereignty of God, again today I want you to open your Bibles. I want us to read that before we watch the video I have on screen. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, the signs of the last time. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Matthew 25, verse 24, sorry, yeah. Yep. Jesus speaks about the future. As Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciple pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, "Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone be left on top of another." Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciple came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" Return, underline that. Your return and the end of the world. Okay? So we won't have time to go all into details on what happened. Yeah, the temple, what Jesus said here happened to the temple after death, AD 70. Okay? There was a big persecution. And you heard about the disciples that were martyred, killed by the Romans. Verse 4, Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many." But I like that. Jesus, this is the word of the Lord. It says, don't let anyone deceive you. Do you know that the world's looking for a leader right now? The world's looking for somebody that can lead. You know, the problem, even for Haiti, I mean, I'm watching certain things going around, some of the news, political stuff. I'm like, well, what happened to a leader? People, I mean, when you have good leader, people lead. People follow good leader because a good leader would have vision. And when you study, and I'm going to challenge you guys nowadays, study the Bible. And I'm going to challenge on emails. I'm going to send you things to read. You need to be aware of the end time prophecies. You need to understand your time. It's not a time for us to panic, but it's a time for us to know the time. It's like, you know, now we all know it's spring's coming, and I'm excited. You know, it's like, yes, spring's coming. Why? Because the season's showing me spring's coming. You know, summer's going to come. It's going to be 95 degrees out there. You know, when the time's coming, we know it. The same thing spiritually. You need to understand what time we're living in. And how do we do that? It's not complicated. It's all here. And that's why the Bible says God, the Holy Spirit, plant the fivefold ministries, the teachers, the prophets, the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors, to teach, to equip the church. That's why I'm here. I'm here to teach. When you read something you don't understand, you talk to me. That's why we told you, hey, you got to go on to a cell group. If this is your church, this is your local body, get involved into a home group. I meet with my cell leaders. We talk. We pray for you. Oh, we pray for each one of you. It's in a cell group. And then we talk about things that we talk in our home groups. So know the time. Jesus said, do not be misled. Verse 6. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. These are the word of the Lord. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against a nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. And all of you ladies here that has gone through a childbirth, you know exactly what it is. We don't know. We could only empathize. You know, honey, that's all we could do. The Lamaze class, I've done it. But it's painful. I hear about it. It's crazy. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my follower. Now understand this. I looked in the Bible. There's only one spot I saw the word Christians. And it was the Antioch people that saw the believers, the followers of Christ, behave like Christ. And they said, man, these guys are a bunch of Christians. Every time the Bible is making reference to a disciple, it mentioned the word followers. It's like our kids, right? They follow us. They watch us. You see, the signs of the end time. There's another verse I want us to quick go. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Will you be ready? Thank you, Lord, for your word. 2 Timothy Chapter 3. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. But I really love the Message version. I know in your Bible it says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be a very difficult time. For people will love only themselves, their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving. Guys, Fall in love. Fall in love with your Bible. Know the Word. Know God's Word. I love this mirror. It helps me to, it helps to keep my spiritual life in check. Oh, I'm like, I just love the Word. As the return of the Lord's getting closer, I'm like, man, I love God's Word. Love God's Word more than anything else. Why? Because when you look in it, it teaches us. It shows us the time. And it helps us to, it corrects us and rebukes us and equips us. But I love it. Verse 3, it says, they will be unloving and unforgiving. I tell you, give you a testimony right there. This week, back in 2016, right? If I'm right, Kendra, tell me. The Lord told me to go around and find pastors that couldn't afford Bible school, okay, Bible training, or somebody that thought could, that had a deeper desire for the Word, and teach them and kind of, you know, do like a Bible school, bring them everything and do a Bible school in their community. So I find this guy, I kind of knew of him, but he contacted me, and then I thought that was a wide open window for the gospel to be preached there. So of course we went. Me and a bunch of maybe like 20 people from our church, we went out there. It was in the north of Haiti. And we went, I mean, the guy was dirt poor, you know. And we went with the compassion of God, with the love of God, and we loved on him. I mean, we washed, the ladies washed like basket full of dirty clothes that they couldn't afford to wash. I mean, it was just awesome. It was by hands. I mean, we were there for a week. The ladies would wash, and at night we would have crusades and just, you know, ministering deliverance to his people. I mean, God made an impact in that community. And right away, he's like, yeah, I want you to come back. So I was like, oh, sure, I'll go back. So I went back for 9 months, every month, 4 days a month. I mean, guys, you should have seen it. In 9 months, the Lord, the word of the Lord bloomed the ministry. We had 117 people in our class. So every month, we would have 117 people that would come from, I think it was for 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I'd go out there, I mean, talking about mosquitoes, no electricity. I mean, you're talking about hardcore stuff. But the Lord was there. People were getting delivered. The testimonies were physical, I mean, miracles, we saw it. It was just like, wow. It was amazing. But then the guy, 5th month into the ministry, started getting greedy. Because what I was doing, it had nothing to do with money. Whatever I had, I would just take people I had, I would take, and we would invest in the kingdom there. So what he would do every month, he would take one of the book I used for the ministry school and just kind of like put it on side, because his plan was after the first 9 months, which is a first session, he would get rid of me and started to charge the student a lot of money, even for the graduation. At our ministry school, we charge nothing because it's like, you know, the word is free. So at least we charge them a little tuition to help pay for their books. But it's not a school to make money. It's a school to give people an opportunity, especially those that can't afford it, to be in God's Word. And we see the result. This guy, he had a complete vision. I didn't know. I thought he had the passion to see people know God's Word. Guys, it was a beautiful movement. Graduation, he charges the student $500 Haitian. And we had about 100 of them graduated. I had no idea because, I mean, for me, the money was not part of, I wasn't thinking about money. And then I find out, I'm like, okay, well, things got to change. If you want me coming back, this is what the school's got to be about. Well, then he's like, well, then I don't want you to come back. I'm like, okay. Well, then you can't use my books because I've got authorization from Victorious Bible Living Institute to use this book here at the church and in Haiti. Well, he's like, okay. Well, then you know what he did? He just copied everything and made a new cover and just changed things around. Guys, I was boiling. I was just like, I'm going to kill this guy. I'm calling my lawyers. I'm talking to everybody. I'm like, I want to choke him. But you know the verse that saved me? Paul said, whether they're preaching the Bible, they're preaching the word to make me jealous, the word's being preached. It's like, well, if they want to start a church over there just because they want to have a better church, praise God. My focus should be Jesus. I should remain focused on the word of the Lord. Guys, it wasn't easy. I hated the guy so bad that I had some really bad dream about him. And it was a dream that I created in my head. So years went by, 2017. And I heard the school's taking, because now the students were asking, where was I? Because beside the Holy Spirit, I was the engine. The Holy Spirit was the engine, but I was the wheels. Because I was the teacher. I'd go there, guys. I'd teach for a week, for 4 days. I'd come back, go back home, and I'd be like exhausted. But when I go there, I see God's movement. I really love. I was looking forward every month to go there. Because when I come back to church, I come back with testimonies. I would bring people from our church with me. I'm like, see, this is what God's doing. This is, you know, it was amazing. Well, a couple years later, the guy came to see me. I'm like, well, what's up? He said, he actually kneeled down in my office. He said, please forgive me. I was wrong. I said, sure, I forgive you. But I don't ever want to see you. I did. I did that. And then I did the Rhema school. There was a graduation. And he came to the graduation. And he was all like, you know, Pastor Ricardo, good to see you. I was just like, yeah, good to see you. I was hurt. But I tell you, this week I got delivered. And I had no idea I was still hurt. A couple weeks ago, the guy sent me a text. He's like, hey, Pastor Ricardo, how you doing, man? I haven't heard from you. You know, where are you? Are you in Haiti? How's the ministry? You know, I hear good things about your ministry, but apparently the school dissolved, all right? So now the school's not working anymore because people find out that he was a fraud. So, long story short, it's like, how you doing? How's the ministry? Where are you? Are you here or are you there? I saw the text. I'm like, my heart, my blood boiled. My heart pumped. I think even my brain started shaking. I don't know if you've ever been like that. Somebody that you hate. Huh? That's right. What would Jesus do? This is the time you need to find out what would Jesus do. Thank you, brother. Guys, we are all on the same road to heaven. That's why I'm challenging you. Take God's heart, take God's word to heart. Apply it in your life. Apply it in every relationship. Time does not heal. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. Time does not, and sometimes we think, well, time will heal. I tell you, I can kill you with testimonies right here. Time does not heal, but Jesus will heal. When someone take advantage of you, when someone misuse you, when someone misunderstand you, you make the choice. Go to God with open heart. Find accountability. Because I knew God's word. I preach God's word. But I tell you, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God. You need to live by the Spirit. You can't do it by yourself. You cannot. And I'm like, I'm praying. I said, Lord, this is how I want to answer him. I said, what in the world you asking me, how am I doing? Seriously. It's like, that's none of your business. Where am I is none of your business. Why are you asking me where am I? Why are you asking me for my family? You see how rude that is? But I have like, you know that little conscience you have? The Bible says your conscience is the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's why the more you listen to your conscience, the better your conscience, a better guide it will be. The less you disobey, the more you disobey your conscience, then your conscience is going to stop trying to convince you. But if you listen to your conscience, then your conscience will become a good guide. Then you will know. How do I know sin? It's my conscience. It's the Spirit. I read the word. The word's in front of me. The Holy Spirit speaks to me. I repent. Then my conscience become better and better. If I talk rude to my wife, how do I know it's rude? Well, I just know. Because the truth will set you free. That's why the more we become, the more the church remain ignorant in God's word, the better it is for the devil. The more you don't know who you are in Christ, the better it is for him to corrupt your value. The more you know who you are in Christ, the harder it is. Because me as a son of God, I don't have to perform for God. I tell my son all the time. I said, son, please, you don't have to perform, man. I love you. I love you for who you are. I love Alyssa for who she is. There's no performance. But do you know how many times the devil tried to twist our children's mind to make them think, well, if you do this, your dad or your mom will be so proud. That's not love. What if they fail? What if they don't reach that bar? And we like to put expectation on people. God is not like that. Our Father in heaven, he's not like that. Nothing we can do would cause him to close the door. So finally, it's been what, maybe 7 days after I got that text. But the thing is, every night I go to sleep, I'm spending time with the Lord. That text is in my spirit. Because I'm like, I need to give him an answer. But the answer I want to give him, it's got to be a punch. I got to tell him. Guys, the guy asked for forgiveness already. So I can't judge his forgiveness. I don't care if he's sincere or not. Thank God he asked for forgiveness. Even if he didn't ask for forgiveness, I still would have to forgive him and get delivered. That's another level. That's why I'm like, guys, when will we grow spiritually and start doing spiritual battle if we're still dealing with sin, unforgiveness, bitterness, pornography? If we still be dealing with, you know, whatever you're dealing with. When will you grow into maturity to be a mature Christian? So God could use you mightily to help. The Bible says the creation is awaits. Oh, creation can't wait for the appearing of the sons. Sons and daughters of God. So Wednesday this week, I felt under conviction I need to give him an answer. So I called Kendra. I said, you know, Kendra is my best friend. I'm like, honey, you know, I explained the whole thing to her. I'm like, I said, I like to run things by her. Thank God if you have a good spiritual woman in your life or a good friend. Because I know sometimes it might not be your mate, but you know you have that person in your life. It's that person that's not going to tell you what you want to hear. It's that person that's going to tell you the truth. You need to identify that person in your life. If you don't have that person, find one. Find somebody you know. You know what? This is this stupid thing. You know that's going to be stupid. Because I know in my mind, if I would send that answer on text, I kind of know it wouldn't be right. But that's just what I want to do anyway. I feel like I have a ground to be rude on with my answer. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. So I told Kendra, I said, honey, this is what he wrote. But I said, honey, I asked her for advice, but I'm trying to tell her. But this is what I'm going to tell him. But honey, this is good, because it's like this guy, he's a traitor. You know, he's a fraud. I mean, I said, I don't want to be his friend. Thank God for my friend Kendra. She said, oh man, love covers, guys. Choose love. Choose love. I'm sitting there. Kendra said, well, who says you got to give him all these answers? He's reaching out. The best thing you can do is to respond in love. But I don't want to. But the problem is, I don't have a choice. If you're a follower of Christ, you have to respond in love. That's why the world hates the church, because we don't know how to love. We confuse love. That was a bucket cold water she dropped on me right there. I felt like, yeah, you know, I still, right? We talked for like maybe 40 minutes. I was trying to fish something out of her that would kind of, you know, like give an approbation to what I want to do. But yeah, but then she was steadfast in challenging me to do the right thing. She did her part. I had a choice. She did her part. I had a choice. I choose love. And I said, I said, hey, good to hear from you. I said, sorry. Well, Kendra said, why don't you just say, you know, you didn't. I told Kendra, I'm telling him, I didn't want to answer anyway. I was just like, I'm going to be honest. I hate you. You can't do that. You know, and I'm not honest, man. I tell you the truth how it is. If I don't like you, I'm going to tell you I don't like you. But there's no such a thing. You got to love. So, guys, I texted my brother back. And right away he answered with kindness. And I felt ashamed. I asked the Lord for forgiveness. And I was delivered. Yes, give God a round of applause. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. You know, and that's what it says here. There will be unloving and unforgiving in the last days. I deal with it. Sometimes I'm like, I am in the Word every day. Because I love God's Word. Not because I have to preach. But if I'm in the Word every day, I love to pray. I'm a follower of Christ, and I see how hard it is. Well, what's happening to those religious people that just come to church and never read the Bible or never apply it in them? No wonder they're depressed. No wonder there's no joy. A physical evidence in a follower of Christ is joy. If you're following the Lord, if you're reading the Bible, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You will have joy. You will have peace. You know why? Because Jesus is the peace of God. The Bible, the Word is Jesus. Religious complicated things for us. I thank God that the spirit of religion is not, I kick it out of this place. I banish religion here. This is the house of the Lord. This is a place for the Holy Spirit. This is a place for freedom. When people come here, they encounter. That's what I need. That's what we all need. An encounter with God. It says, they will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. Don't let anything control you. Even eating. Don't let eating control you. Don't let makeup control you. That's for the ladies. Now, I know this could be a sensitive subject. But don't let it control you. There are days, you know what? I'm not putting makeup on. Because I know some people, man, if they don't have makeup, they feel so ugly. See, then you're all fake. Self-control. In the last days, that's how people will be. Watch out. They will betray their friends. They'll be reckless, be puffed up with pride, love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Oh, it says stay away from those people. Don't hate them, but those people, you can't be friends with them. You just can't. It's just like you and them. It's like birds and fish. I love what the message says. It says, don't be naive. There will be difficult times ahead as the end approaches. People are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry. See, a lot of the things people are just dying, I mean, killing themselves for, I tell you, 50 years from now, it won't matter. Seek the true riches. Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek first righteousness, justice, joy, peace. Seek those things. Seek love. Seek. Guys, there are people that are doing like 3 jobs. I mean, I'm right now looking for another job too. Yeah, I'm like, because, you know, everything's getting too so expensive. You know, it's like, all right, no, what? Yeah, you got to do what you got to do, okay? I'm not talking about being lazy and stuff. Oh, Jesus is coming back. No work. I'm going to collect. Go to work. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about collecting. I'm talking about people that are just, I mean, work is their idol. They have no time for anything. They're always exhausted. And not, you know, I want to make a balance. Okay, there's no judgment here. There's no condemnation. You got to do what you got to do. But I pray the Lord will bring the balance in your life to understand, you know what? Don't let anything else temporary take the place of God in your life. Self-promoting, stuck up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude. This is the message. Coarse, dog eat dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated, windbags. That's why I love the message. I mean, this is the Bible, right? I'm not cursing on anybody. Addicted to lust and allergic to God. Don't become allergic to God. There are people, that's why I said, I challenge you guys, use social media to preach the gospel. You know, if you're afraid for people to find out you're a follower of Christ, be careful. If I go on your social media, I should be able to find out what you're about. They will make a show of religion, but behind the scene, they are animals. Stay clear of these people. Now, I want my brother back here to dim the lights, and I want you guys to focus on the screen and watch this next video.
Fraud I am. And everybody bought it. except you. I knew your message. I knew your words. I stood right here. I preached it. And I was good. But they're gone. They're gone. And oh, but knowing and believing are two different things. I'm living a lie. I'm living a lie. Right? I am kneeling before you right now, asking you, God, forgive me of my sins. I am asking you, give me one more chance. To receive you in, forgive me, God. Use me, Lord, please, just use me. He already has. He already has.
I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm not saying your life is like poop. Okay? I'm not saying that. But I'm inviting each person here right now. I've done it in my life again. I told you, I'm ready. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to be radical for my faith. I'm ready when the rapture comes. I'm ready for whatever. I'm ready to live for Christ. And I'm letting Christ in today. You know, and in the next, I want to take a couple minutes just between you and the Lord. You know, what are some things in your life that, I don't know, you know it. You heard me. I don't want to repeat myself. And maybe today again you need to, in French, they say, fléchis les genoux, bend your knees. Again. Maybe you just need to bend knees again. Say, you know what, God? I don't want to be a fraud. I want to be real. Or maybe you don't need it. But at least, I don't want us to, you know, the price is too high for us to be coming here and not encountering Jesus. So, just close your eyes. If you need to come to the altar, do that. If you need to bend your knees where you're at, do that. I'm giving you this next couple of minutes between you and the Lord. Nothing else. No distraction. Maybe if you don't know what to say, you could just pray the same prayer. Oh, God and Lord, I don't want to be a fraud. I invite you in my life. Forgive my sins. See, that's a question. Will you be ready? I can't answer it for you. And the more I study that subject, I mean, I can spend the rest of the year talking about that. You don't want to be a fraud. I feel like the Holy Spirit saying today is a good day for one or two people here. It's for all of us, but there is somebody right here. The Lord's saying, you know what? This is your time, excuse me. This is your time. This is your day to really get serious about following me. I've been asking you to lay down your life. But it's been rough because you don't want to make a choice. It's saying son or daughter, I don't know who that is. This is your day. Bend knees, to commit your life to me. You might be online, you're watching too, and the Lord's speaking to you right now, saying, daughter, this is your day, this is your time. There's no more time. Come home. Maybe you've been struggling. Feel the weight of the world is on your shoulders. You can't trust God. This morning the Lord's giving you his hands. He's like, come on, daughter. Come on, son. Let's all pray this prayer together. Father God, just repeat after me. Father God, I acknowledge today you are my God, and I'm a sinner who is in need of a Savior. Once again, today, I believed that Christ came for my salvation. Forgive my sins. I receive you in. Thank you. In Jesus' name. You see, this is not a prayer for a new convert. You know, I know sometimes people want to make this what we just declare for a new convert. I pray that prayer all the time. Last night I prayed, I said, Jesus, I receive you in. I just need you in. Will you be ready? This is the subject I'm on right now. Of course, I never prepared for a series, those things, but it's like the more I'm studying it, the more I'm realizing there's more to it. So to be continued. And I pray today that the Lord ministered to your heart. and his word, you're going to take to heart. Amen. God bless you guys.